Let me explain to you a little bit more what is a blessing. Every one of us has done some good deeds, either in this life or our previous lives. 雕王妈妈, 长辈子, previous lives are beyond count, beyond number, Buddha describes. So what happens is that we've had many previous lives, and the previous lives are innumerous, and we've done very good deeds. Giving a morsel of food to the animals, helping someone sick, serving our parents, giving someone a kind word, cleaning a temple, cleaning a holy area, serving old people, elderly people, giving money to the poor, giving food to those who are hungry, etc., etc., even reciting a sutra, even doing some meditations, even some of us having heard the name of the Buddha in previous life, even hearing the name of the Buddha will plant seeds of Buddhahood in your mind by the power of the object, all right? Not the power of the perceiver. Perceiver is oneself. Object is the object of perceiving. That's a Buddha. So that's the Buddha. We are the perceiver. So what happens is this is, when we do something good, or we see something holy, or we do something excellent, it plants a karmic seed in our mind stream. That karmic seed in our mind stream doesn't go away. It stays with us. Any karmic seed that is planted in our mind will not go away. It will stay with us at the correct juncture or at the correct trigger. That karma will open. Whether that karma is good or that karma is bad, karma will trigger. Why? I give you examples. Very simple examples. Some people, they're good kids, they grow up, they get a good education, they have a good relationship with their parents, they get a good job, suddenly they get a fatal disease. Suddenly they have an accident. Suddenly, someone backstabs them, the business goes down completely, no flat on their face. But you see, everything they did in their life up to that point was meant to bring success. But the last minute, no success comes. So then people say, oh, God is so cruel. Oh, God is teaching me a lesson. Oh, maybe I threw away the talisman or the food from the Taoist temple. Or maybe at the ghost month I didn't make enough offerings. People have all kinds of thinking, they get very scared. They get very worried. So what happens is, there are other people who don't study, who don't work. They're lazy, they're sneaky, and sometimes things seem to go right for them. Seems to go right for them. They think, why is God so unfair? Why is Buddha so unfair? I go to pujas. You know, I give donations, I give help. Why doesn't good things happen to me? Well, you see, if you believe in the God theory, which is fine, really it's fine. If you believe in the God theory, it doesn't explain. Why? If you do good things in this life, because the God theory doesn't believe in reincarnation, if you do good things in this life, you must be reciprocating good things. But if you do good things and bad things come, why is it that God is teaching you a lesson? What lesson is there to learn? There is no lesson to learn. Why is it when people do some people do negative things and very good things come for them, then why doesn't God teach them a lesson? So when we believe in a God theory, where if we think that God is punishing us, and God is hurting us or rewarding us, it may work for some people, and that's okay, because they become good people because they're afraid of God and the punishments. But for many people, it's not good enough. And the reason is because if that's the case, then we don't take any responsibility for our actions. Because there's this thing called redemption. And redemption is that you can do anything you want, any bad thing you want, and if you confess and you accept God, everything's okay. But you see, according to the karma theory, that doesn't work. Because the karma theory says whatever you do, the actions must come back. So if we follow a karma theory, it seems to make more sense for many people, maybe not everyone, for more people. Why? If you look at the karma theory, then whatever you get at the moment, whatever you get this year, whatever you got last year, is the result of what you've done in previous times. So maybe you were goody-goody two-shoes for 10 years, but before that you were a monster. So when you were a monster, things you did, the deeds have come back, even if you're a goody-goody-good person now. So therefore, if you believe in karma, when bad things happen, you know what happens? You gain strength. You tend to blame other people less. You tend to react to other people less. You tend to want to get revenge less. And also, when you believe in the karma theory, you tend to, instead of waiting for a God to straighten out your life, you do something about your life. You take the responsibility. So when you believe in the karma theory, whether you accept or reject God doesn't matter. Because in Hinduism, they believe in the God theory and the karma theory. But Buddha didn't deal with the God theory. He dealt with you. Because he said that we are in control. Nobody else is in control. Then people can say, yeah, you may be in control, but who created you? My karma created me. Karma created everything, created the universe. Karma is a force of action that's causing effect. So therefore, because if God created me, who created God? Then you can go on with that kind of debate. So therefore, if you believe in a karma theory, the benefit is this. You become less vengeful. Because whatever happens, you do your best not to let it happen again, but at the same time, you take responsibility for it. You accept it. Number two, when you accept the karma theory, you take responsibility for your life. That if you do things that are going to be harmful to other people, you have to expect it to come back. So every time you do something harmful, in the back of your mind you're thinking, it's going to come back, it's going to come back, it's going to come back, it's going to come back. One day you're going to have to stop. If you take the karma theory, even when good things happen to you, you think, hey, when is it going to run out? When is it going to stop? When is it going to change? Because it will change. So when you have good things happen, you also don't become too arrogant when you believe in karma. When you have bad things happen, you don't become too depressed because you believe in karma. Why? When you believe in karma, you know what happens? You can make a difference. You can make a difference. And I've always given this example of mine, which is my favorite, and I think it's the best. Which is if you have a snow-capped mountain, and the snow is melting, and the water is, and it turns into a river every summer. In winter, the river is very narrow, very small. But in the summer, the river is very torrential, very heavy, because the sun's extra hot, it melts the snow, the river becomes torrential. So there's a village at the bottom of the river. At the bottom of the river, there's a village. And that village, if they don't take precaution, they can be wiped away by the flood. So the village says, hey, you know what? We can't make the water go backwards. We can't make the water disappear or dry up, but we can make the water circumvent us, go around us. So they're very smart. Before the summer comes, during the spring, they start digging trenches, they start digging, you know, pathways. So when the river comes, it breaks and it goes around the river and it goes down. And that's kind of like karma. Is you can't make karma go away. That's what Buddha says. You can't make it disappear. But you can manipulate karma with a good motivation. And that is, before the karma comes, you do something to circumvent it. So therefore, if you're healthy, you're having a good job, you're having a good family life, and everything's easy, and you think, hey, I don't have to practice karma. Everything's okay, well. But you see, that's your wrong view telling you everything's okay. When everything's okay is exactly what you should practice in karma. You see, many Tibetan people, or ordinary lay people, they're just like all of you. They practice Dharma more sincerely when things go wrong. They go see a lama for divination, they go do pujas, they offer candles, they offer incense, they go to the temple, they're very religious, they go vegetarian, just like Chinese. everywhere else. Tibetan people, the majority, are just like anybody else, you know. Religion for them is a way of life, but Dharma is to be practiced when things go wrong. But the good thing about Tibetans is when things go wrong, they accept it as part of their karma, so they're less angry and less depressed. That's why the Dalai Lama is always asked, how come you can lose everything and you're still all right? This is my karma. I accept it. It's easier. Now, when things are going right for you, when you're relatively healthy, when you're relatively all right, and your money is relatively okay. I mean, I'm not going to ask you guys, is your money okay? Because nobody in this room is going to say my money's okay. I know people. Because if they have $10 billion, it's still not enough. If they have $10,000, it's not enough. It's always not enough. So, if you can pay your bills, you're all right. If you can eat, you're all right. And everything's, you know, relatively okay. That's when you should practice stuff. You should never wait for something to go wrong. You should never wait for a death. You should never wait for something to happen. You should never make conditions on your Dharma practice. When my father dies, when my mother dies, then I'll be released and I can practice. Very wrong thinking. You know why that's wrong thinking? Because you didn't love your mother and father enough to practice while they were alive to dedicate to them. Once they're dead, the dedication is less. And the people say, oh, I think I'll go study. I don't think I'll do Dharma or Dharma work. I think I'll go study. Fine. But if your study takes away from Dharma, what happens if you die next year? Your study is not going to help you out. Nothing. You see, you can't escape from your own karma.
Therefore, when things are right, when your body is fit, when your mind is fit, when your body's pretty much healthy, and you live in a great country that's free to express what you want to express and practice what you want to express, like here, you should practice Dharma. You should never say, when my kids grow up, I'll practice Dharma. Or when I retire, or when I'm older, or after I make my million, and then I'll practice Dharma. You know what you should say? I'll do it together with my kids, I'll do it together with my work, I'll do it together with everything. That's very important. You know why? Never wait till it's too late. If you wait till it's too late, then it's too late. Nothing else would happen. What's a good reason to do Dharma? What's a good reason? On a very rudimentary level, on a very preliminary level. Think about all the people that have been kind to you in your life. For some of you, your mother and father. Some of you, your auntie and uncle. Some of you, your friend. Think of all the people that have been very kind to you. And you know what? If you don't do something back for them, you basically use them. So think of all the people that have been very kind to you. For these people, I'm going to do some Dharma. I'm going to attend pujas. I'm going to study. I'm going to be a committee member. One of the greatest ways to collect Dharma for lay people is to do Dharma work assigned. Example, if you've been assigned as a committee, it's a great honor. If you've been assigned as a liaison, you've been assigned as a volunteer, it's a great honor. Let me tell you why. If you take on the commitment of a committee, for example, a committee, if you take on the commitment, you swear in for 2 years and you do. Whereas if you just come in and out as and when you like, you do, there's a difference. Why is there a difference? If you swear in and do, the merits and the purification is greater than if you don't. If that is not the case, then there would be no monk vows. We just all don't kill, we all don't eat, we don't lie, we all don't steal. We're all monks, what? If taking vows have no power, the Buddha would have never taught the monk vows. He would never taught the bodhisattva vows, the refuge vows. He would never taught the tantric vows. Vows is an open statement to yourself and to the holy beings. From today on, I will be a committee member for 2 years, and I will serve the community, I will serve others, and I will help others through my position, and I dedicate my merits for these 2 years for my mother, for my father, for my children, for my friends, for the people who have helped me, I swear. And then you do a beautiful prayer together, and you swear in. After you swear in, you do your work well, with a happy face, smiling, nice, whatever your duty is. At the end of 2 years, you swear out. Then you say, thank you very much for the opportunity. Then you do a prayer to dedicate the merits to these people. People say, oh, I have to take care of my mother, take care of my father, take care of my kids. Yes, we do. We do. But you know what? There is a higher way to take care of them and an ordinary way. The ordinary way is give them food, give them money, pay for the bills, and then when they die, you die, that's the end. The higher way is to dedicate merits to them. If you dedicate your merits to the people you love, the merits can be taken with them even after they have passed away. Some of us have worked so hard to take care of our kids. We've given them food, we watch them, we wash them, we educate them, and we give all our energy to them. Yet when they grow up, they don't make it in life. They become monsters, or they become losers, or they don't do what we like, or they don't do what's good for them, and they hurt themselves. Why? Because education and money alone will not make a person good. It's a responsibility of the parents to practice the Dharma and pass on the Dharma principles to your kids. You think, oh, my kids are small, they don't know anything, they won't know what I'm doing. They know. You know why? Think back when you were a kid. For some of you, you have to think back pretty far. Sao-chen here, no. For some of you, you have to think back pretty far. But if you think back pretty far, you'll remember K.H.N. is smiling. We'll tell Sao-chen that. So some of you think back when you were kids, you saw your mother, father do this, you remember what? And it made an impression, what? Because if it made an impression in them, it'll make an impression in your children. They don't understand it, and they can't explain it, but when they get older, they will think back and say, oh, my mother did that. Oh, my mother did Dharma work. Oh, she was very kind. Oh, she always helps people. Oh, she always does KSK. Oh, she volunteers. Maybe that's why she's so happy. Oh, I respect her so much. On her free time, she took care of my father. She took care of us. On her free time, she did like that. Oh. Then they think, Dharma is good. I think I'll do that. And then when the kids grow up, if they have Dharma principles, you know what happens? It's easier for them to control their own mind. Money can't control their mind. Education can control their mind. Good house and good living can control their mind. And if you didn't do that when they were younger, you better do that now, even when you're older, because you can still dedicate your marriage to them. If you're at home lazy, you know, being a nice tai-tai, whether you're a boy tai-tai, girl tai-tai, you lay there on the chaise lounge, watch TV, eat nice little tidbits, and chant mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum, oh, I'm tired. And you just sit back at home all day, relax, put on TV, read magazines, and you know, you're getting more fatter than me, and you just relax. I have an excuse not to be fat. I'm a Rinpoche, I can't run around here and there. I gotta stay in my room and meditate. What's your excuse? Now, so if you're still at home like a tai-tai laying there on a chaise lounge chair, as if you're entering para-nirvana like the Buddha, watching TV, listening to music, calling up your friends, going for parties, putting more tidbits, drinking, looking at your nails, looking at your new ring, fixing your hair, you keep doing that, and then your kids, you find out they're going crazy, they're going bananas, you know, they're going wild, their life is going down. You can do something about it. How much you want to do, if you advise them it didn't work, it's not going to work. Why? No offense, what you have advised them didn't impress them. So if you do Dharma work and dedicate to them and you change yourself, there's a chance they might change. Parents always ask, how do I help my kids? That's the truth. And so what happens is on a practical level, they see a good example. On a spiritual level, you collect merits for them. Now, a blessing is when we do something good, when we do something really good. Mediocre or high level, doesn't matter. We do something really good. It's planted in our mind. When it's planted in our mind and we see something similar, or we see something that can continue it, it will trigger it to open. It will trigger it to open. Example, if in your previous life you were very apt towards giving to the poor, in this life, when you see poor people, it will trigger that, like, oh, ayo. And then you go home, you say, never mind, go home, and enjoy yourself and just relax. And you go out again, you see another poor person, and you see them laying there, you go, oh. And that pain is a blessing. That pain is a trigger. And then you say, you know what? I'm going to go and help them do something. And then you go and help, you start buying food. And then they smile back at you and say, thank you. And that thank you is worth $1 million. And then you say, you know what? I like that. And you go and buy 10, then you buy 2, then you buy 30, 40, 50, and you increase, you start helping, and then you start doing that, you're connecting back with the previous life that you've done something good. Example, in your previous life, if you were someone that was teaching Dharma, or you were someone that did meditation, or you were someone that did a lot of retreats, in this life, if you see something related, oh, if you see a monk or you see a lady meditating, you go, oh, I'm here in the restaurant enjoying myself, listening to the music, and they're meditating. Oh, it hits something. When that opens something, it triggers the blessing from your previous life. That trigger is a blessing. It opens your imprint from a previous life, imprint. So for someone else who have no imprints, they didn't help people in their previous lives, you know? If they see a poor person on the road, they don't even see the poor person, they just drive by. Yeah, they don't see them. Really, don't, have you gone with people, they don't see anybody? They just see themselves? Yes. And have you seen people that they can go to a temple, they can see people meditating, they're very sincere, they don't feel anything, they don't see anything. But if you take them into Louis Vuitton, they see everything. They're like, oh, wow. And they're taking all the new latest bags and wallets and blessing themselves with it, you know? Like, wow. Why? It sounds funny, but that's how it is, isn't it? Because it doesn't trigger something. You say, well, why does that trigger them? Because in many lifetimes, they practice greed. Or many lifetimes, they practice self-cherishing mind. So if there are other things that increase the self-cherishing mind, they're more excited. They are excited to do it. Have you noticed some people, very easy to lie. When they lie, you know, when they lie to you, you know, they're smiling, they're very natural, everything's okay. They're the best actor in the world. They should win an Emmy. They're like... And there's some people, when they need to lie, it's so hard for them. They cannot even... They're like... I didn't see it, you know, and they saw it. They saw it, but for some people it's very natural. Why? Because they're tapping into the many lifetimes of lying and hurting others. So they become cold. It's a propensity. It's a propensity. Now, a blessing is when something in your mind stream, now listen very carefully, when something in your mind stream that has been planted in a previous time, not necessarily a previous life, is dormant in your mind stream. And when you see something and it triggers it for you to do something good and continue, that is a blessing. Otherwise, what is a blessing? If you're a mafioso, if you're a gangster, you know, you kill 300 people, if people even look at your wife, you shoot them. You come to the temple, you come to the church, you pray, and you know, dear Buddha, I love you, and oh, dear Buddha, please bless my family and me. You go outside the church and you kill somebody. I mean, it didn't trigger anything, did it? It didn't trigger anything. My point is this. A blessing is exactly, it's a positive word. A blessing is not if you're a gangster, you see another, you're a gangster in your previous life, in this life you see a gangster, and then you go, oh, I like that. You see the gangster, and the gangster come near you, he shows you his gun, and he shows you all his 30 girlfriends, you go, oh, I like that. And then it triggers your gangster blessing come forward. That's not a blessing, by the way. That's not a blessing to be triggered to do bad things. But people will be triggered by that. Some people are, you know, let's not talk about gangsters. Some gangsters are quite nice people, actually. But let's talk about, you know, bankers, you know, white-collar crime. You know, they play with all kinds of things on the stocks, and they embezzle millions of dollars. And then they tell their best friend, their best friend go, wow. They get a blessing. They just, can I do it? That's a bad blessing. But that's exactly, a trigger can be positive or negative. So therefore, a blessing is when something in you that has been planted in your mind stream and it is triggered by something similar, and then it opens you up to do good things, change your mind, change your views, change your perspective, change your life, that is a real blessing. Why is it a blessing? Because from that trigger, from henceforth, you'll be doing good things. So it blesses your life, it blesses your family, it blesses your lineage, it blesses yourself. That's why it's called a blessing. Where can blessings come from? Blessings can come from our mother and fathers. Blessings can come from a statue. Blessings can come from a stupa. It can come from a lama. It can come from a dharma text. It can come from a scene. It can come from a memory. It can come from an event. It can come from a place. Example, you can go to Bodh Gaya, the place where Buddha became enlightened, because it's highly charged and highly blessed. I've been there. And when you go there, immediately you feel holy, you feel religious, you don't want to eat meat, you want to prostrate, you want to do pujas, you want to pray. Because that place triggers that in you. That's a place. A blessing of an event can be, maybe when you were younger, you remember your parents meeting the Dalai Lama, or your parents meeting the Pope, or your parents meeting Mahatma Gandhi or something, and how it changed their lives. And when you didn't understand it, when you got older, you thought about the event and how your parents changed at that and become even better people. Then you remember that in this life, when you're older, and you say, oh, I want to be like that, then you change. It's triggered by an event. Okay? Event. Then, let's say there's a very high monk who's done great meditations, and he's used his life to serve others. Or a great nun, she's used her life to serve others. And her mala, that she's used to generate compassion, that she's recited Namo Amitofo, Namo Kwan Su Yin Po Sa millions to generate her compassion, to gain the strength to benefit others. This has her blessings. Or it can be a cloth of a great being. The cloth doesn't have to be robes, it can be lay clothes of a great being. All right? Or even the ashes, a great being who has passed away, you have the ashes. The ashes are contained in a statue or contained in a stupa. Because in Buddhism, we don't take their ashes in the urn and bless everybody. You know, you put it in something holy. So those items are very holy, because the people that possess those items generated compassion, generated a mind of altruism, generated a mind of love and compassion and forgiveness. So their mind generation permeates their items. It permeates their body. It permeates the items that they touch. It permeates their environment. So when it permeates their environment, when you come in contact with it, it can trigger a previous imprint, and that's a blessing. Hence, in Buddhism, we like to circumambulate around a temple. We like to circumambulate a precious statue. We like to see relics. We like to put a precious item on our heads. We like to go and get a blessing of a lama. We like to do that. Why? The more we do it, the chances for its trigger will be higher. Just think, for some people, it's just meeting their lama. For some people, it's meeting their lama, and the lama and what he speaks or what he says to them triggers a change in their mind to do more for others, to do better with their lives, to make more use with their lives to benefit others. So sometimes a lama speaking, a dharma talk can trigger. Some people, they did good things way millions of lifetimes ago, so to trigger it, we gotta go a little deeper. So they need to see their lama more than once, maybe a couple of thousand times, and they trigger something. But some people, they just see once, it triggers. Have you seen that? Some people leave the lama with tears and say, oh, wonderful, I want to do something, I want to join up, I want to commit. Some people leave the lama and say, well, the lama was very good looking, but that's it. But didn't you feel anything? Oh no, he was very good looking. And then that's it. But for some people, they ask, what is that? It's not the fault of the lama or the fault of the person, it's just that their imprint is not very strong. Let me give you an idea. If you want to catch a fish let's say you want to catch a fish as big as this room, but you know, bite my tongue, we're not going to catch any fishes. Let's say we want to catch a fish this big, right? But our bait is this big. How? So if your bait's this big, you want to catch a fish that big, how? Like that, if the imprint in the person is very little, even Buddha Shakyamuni talked to them, they'll be like, yeah, really? Let me prove it to you. Buddha Shakyamuni appeared in the world, but not everybody's a Buddha. What does that tell you? Either he was a fake, he was Reverend Jim Jones incarnate, or our imprint wasn't very strong. So therefore, we can think in a logical way. Therefore, some people, when they meet the Lama, they listen to Dharma, they know it's right, but they can't do it. You know why they can't do it? Because their negative karma is too strong. Their negative karma is too strong, so they're too attracted to the lazy, easy way of life. They're not evil, they're just lazy. Lazy and evil is different. Lazy is habituation. And the sad thing is, the easy life can be over in a flash. In a flash. So therefore, now, a blessing is like that. Sometimes, an event can happen that's not ordinary. People would like to call it a miracle. I like to look at it a little deeper. Sometimes an event that can be extraordinary can happen that's not normal. When something else is about to happen, there's a sign. Okay? Example, sometimes a lama will come to the area to give a dharma talk. Just before he arrives or when he arrives, there'll be rainbows appearing in the sky. Very clear, very evident. not, you know, on the other side of the world, right over where he is. I've seen that. I've seen it with my own eyes. And once he starts talking, the rainbow disappears. There was not even rain, no rain. That's happened. I've seen it with my own eyes, not once or twice. And that's a sign, all right? Why do rainbows appear? There are many reasons. One is that the local deities are very happy. And so they can feel the compassion of the Lama. It's their sign to say, this person is good. We're happy he's here. That's all it is. Nothing more. So that's what a blessing is. A blessing is something that triggers your positive karma from a previous life, from a previous time, not even life. And it helps you to do something more now. That's what a blessing is, all right?